Hey, grandkids, welcome. It's Stunk Granny Audio 245 version 2.1, something like that. yeah, Kevin and I did a show last week, and nothing came out.
Nothing came out sounding well at all.
No. Well, you did.
Well, aside from the fact that I sounded like this pig that we're watching on HGTV right now.
an actual pig, not the host.
So, right.
Yeah.
And I did inadvertently do a smart thing. I did take a Claritin today, so hopefully I don't sound like a snorting pig at any moment.
Oh, that's right. It did sound like you were – it sounded like you were heavy masturbating, like watching some seriously good stuff for an hour. Yeah. There was
yeah,
I was thinking
no,
the entire
like,
time.
I,
if I could
I had
have heard
to,
myself.
Stop. Like, it just got to be too much. I couldn't handle listening to myself and not hearing you at all.
Yeah, that was. Well, some people may be like, hey, that's a good thing. But. So, yeah. But,
yeah,
you know,
no, it was worse than your always present muting of yourself.
as I look down and go, is he being a smartass? Oh, okay. no. It had something to do with that whole Skype thing where they were disconnecting secondary apps. I remember listening to Austin's show with Jim Cornette. The exact same thing happened to them. And all he got, though, was, if I remember this right, all he had was Jim Cornette having a conversation basically with himself. And he still has it, and Cornette was trying to convince him to just post that one. Because it would Cornette's kind of a maniac anyways. It'd sound even more insane. I was like, that'd be a really fun idea, actually. Just to hear him having a conversation with nothing. But it hasn't happened so far. So, so we don't really have a format today. What we talked about last week was Matt Hardy and CM Punk. And the Matt Hardy conversation was just both of us really just
feeling
saying,
sorry for Matt Hardy.
Yeah, just why are we talking about this guy again? And I brought up the fact that, you know, it's a personal thing, so why are we talking about it? But then, have you noticed since then there's been nothing?
Yeah, no, he's posted a couple of happy pictures or don't believe everything that you hear or something like that. And it's just like, okay, dude, whatever. Like, and that's the reason why it gets covered.
But yeah, but you're exactly right. I mean, after that, that was it. We haven't heard anything about the Matt Hardy stuff.
It's because he's irrelevant.
Well, there's that, but then also just it honestly seems like piling on. Like, I think we both brought it up. He's kept out of trouble, spotlight, whatever.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, getting married, and he went through WWE's rehab. He did everything you're supposed to do. So I don't get why it's the steps were taken. I don't know how legitimate they were, but they were still taken at least. So just lay off the guy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No need to worry about that.
Yeah.
But CM Punk, I do believe, is still a somewhat relevant topic.
Yeah. Especially after last night's Raw. Which we're going to get into some other topics later this week, as long as our recorder doesn't continually crash out. I don't know. A week later, have your feelings changed at all about it?
Well, I guess the interesting thing is to me at this point, there's still the two outcomes. It's a work, it's not a work. And then if it's not a work, is where kind of the one interesting part comes in for me, which is that CM Punk has tended to get himself out there. Even when he left the company, when he went to the Comic-Con and stuff like that. Well, ever since the exiting, he has stayed awfully quiet. And I think that could be to his benefit. I think it's, well, I think it's smart on his part too. If there really is a problem, to not, he's leaving open a chance to repair the bridge, yeah. I guess, by staying quiet.
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing this morning, especially after Raw. I think he sent out, what, one tweet, and it was, you guys keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. And I think it was last week sometime. But knowing knowing what we do know of his personality, that could have been a smart-ass comment, too, about rumor mongering or making stuff up and what and like things to you know that nature that degree. That's how I took it actually.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know about it until now, but it does have a very vague, you could take it any number of ways, meaning.
Yeah, but I think the silence has been kind of telling because, you know. He had a contract with WWE after, was it Money in the Bank, right? Yeah, Money in the Bank, when he beat Cena for the title and left WWE for a while. And he was immediately on, was it Grantland, right? Bill Simmons thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was immediately on there talking about it. Well, he's gone. This is the biggest story to come out of WWE all year. I know it's only February, but you know what I mean. This is the biggest story right now. Not a peep. I mean, who walks away from a WrestleMania payday and then doesn't go on to talk about, the way it went down was he supposedly went and talked to McMahon, like Vince himself, and then left right after that.
Right.
So to me, it screams Vince was like, get out of here, or... You know, Punk was like, I'm leaving, and Vince didn't stop him, but then also, you know how Vince works. He does what's right for business all the time. I mean, hell, he brought the Ultimate Warrior back, you know, after how many years of DVDs of destroying him.
Right.
So, I don't think this is a work at all, but I don't think it's as one-sided, where Punk just said, fuck you, I'm out of here. That's what the week in between the story breaking to now has come up with, that there's got to be some sort of agreement there. Like, I'm just going to sit this out. You know, it's time for me to go. And Vince like, well, you know, you're going to miss on all that money. He's like, I don't care. And Vince goes, well, the door's open when you come back. Because really, what's Punk going to do? I mean, I know he's getting offers for MMA fights from, I can't remember who it was.
Oh, yeah, I saw that news, and I was like, oh, that was serious, because I saw it on a message board somewhere. I was like, oh, that really was a thing?
Yeah. But no, the whole Punk thing, I thought it was kind of telling last night when
Jason David Frank.
Okay, whoever that is.
Actor and MMA fighter.
Wait a minute, was he? Yeah, was he the Green Ranger, Green Power Ranger, or something? If I remember.
That's what. Yeah, he is the Green, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger.
All right. I read that earlier today, and now I put two and two. I'm like, when you said actor, I was like, why is an actor calling him out? But I didn't realize he trained martial arts as well. So, I don't know how good he is either, but...
Yeah, well, he had a pro record of 1-0 and an amateur record of 4-0.
Oh, nice.
And is currently 40 years old, so...
Oh. All right, well, Punk's, what, 35?
I believe so.
Yeah, so he's pretty old for that, too. I mean...
Right.
You know, Brock wasn't exactly a spring chicken, and being hurt or being sick most of the time didn't help his cause either.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain learning curve that goes in with all these things that these guys just do not have, unfortunately, getting into the game that late. But with the Punk thing, the week off in between's given it some perspective. And last night, the way no one played into it. I mean, maybe the Omaha crowd. I keep reading how polite Omaha people from Omaha are. Okay. But, I mean, they started the CM Punk chants, but no one played into it. There wasn't a hint of it. And they don't usually talk over those types of crowd reactions. And Stephanie barreled through it. Triple H barreled through it. Orton barreled through it. Not given one sliver of an opening for the audience.
Right. Yeah, no. Nobody said anything, even though it was quite prominent a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing that I end up finding funny is I just remember seeing all the news about Cena being injured over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there was a whole lot of talk about him either.
No.
And which, then he appeared on camera afterwards. I was just like, oh, well, this is kind of interesting. No Punk and no Cena on this show.
I'm not going to say I didn't miss him, but watching that show, it didn't even occur to me Cena wasn't on the show. Because he's done this before, where they don't talk about him, or he's been, didn't show.
Every now and again, he does the smart thing and ducks out on a show or two here and there.
But he was still there. He was there after the cameras went off. He's the one that saved Daniel Bryan off camera. So
that's always interesting, too. It's just like, oh, okay, I'll save it until later.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I guess is nice, because then you can at least say you saw Cena if you're going to feel like you were ripped off not seeing him.
Right. Well, I don't know. With Raw seemed like a weird show last night to me. It was very safe. It was lacking star power, which gave some people opportunity. But the two, and Shahid was telling me that the two of the four biggest draws, I brought this up last week, on Raw are Triple H, CM Punk, John Cena. I don't remember who the third was, so well. So you're missing two out of the four. And you got Batista as like the next big draw, but then his push has been so goofy since he got there. So without Punk there, it and the ratings went down this week too without him on.
Oh.
Which they were bound to do anyways, but I guess you can if you're going to penalize somebody for ratings going down, don't you have to give credit for somebody for ratings going down as well? Like, Punk's not on, ratings go down. You know, there's like two sides to every statistic, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
Yeah, but no, it's the CM Punk thing. It's going to be a nightmare in a few weeks because they go to Rosemont, Illinois, which is just Chicago. The Rosemont Horizon.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to be able to do with that. So this isn't going away, but and maybe it was a blessing they were in a place like Omaha, who supposedly is very polite and didn't raise much of a concern, because maybe it'll diffuse it and go from there. And then by the time it does get there, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I've been saying it for a while now. I mean, I guess that post-WrestleMania crowd has really made crowds a little, for the most part, more interesting.
Okay. I was thinking about this as well, which is why I wanted to get a show in today. Isn't it WWE's fault that the crowds act the way they do, though? Like, the post-WrestleMania crowd, sure. And then, you give them an acknowledgement, whatever else. Well, what was it? Not this week, the week before. They start chanting for Jerry Lawler. They start chanting for JBL. It was during the Del Rio match. I can't remember who he was facing. Was it Kofi?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So here are these two guys busting ass, and the crowd's not paying attention because who gives a shit about Kofi Kingston? And I know everyone, the kids buy it, the kids like him. Well, the kids don't buy his stuff, though. I mean, so?
Yeah, no, his stuff gets sold somewhat, but he is certainly way down on the totem pole.
Yeah. But Del Rio, he's been a snooze almost his entire run.
And you brought it up just a little bit ago, the thing with him and Batista. Like, it's been so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio had just started losing to Sin Cara out of the blue for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden, he starts beating Sin Cara, and then he's got to beat Rey because Batista's coming back.
Yeah. Well, the Batista thing was handled totally weird anyways, but before we even get into that part, the crowd aspect...
Oh, yeah.
You know, here Del Rio and Kofi are in the ring doing their trade, and the crowd's shitting on them because they don't care about either one of them. It's not that they want to rebel, it's just there's absolutely no reason to care about Del Rio or Kofi Kingston. So you're putting in the ring two guys who, all right, whatever. So what do you do? Hey, let's start.
Chant at the announcers.
Yeah, it's the great American thing. We like to chant stuff, which is why Daniel Bryan's getting over. It was even one of his an interview that he, I think it was with Steve Austin's podcast, that, no, it wasn't Steve, maybe it was Colt Cabana's, where he was basically just saying, I know people like chanting, they like doing things with their hands, so that's how he came up with the no and the yes and all that. So, it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, this is easy to do. You get a bunch of your friends. I mean, shit, the wave is how old? And people still do that? Well, so they start chanting, you know, they start chanting JBL and whatever else. And JBL stands up and salutes the crowd. Well, you're encouraging this behavior by doing that. And I think Del Rio rightly, I don't know if this was scripted or not, but he turned around and just bitched at JBL, telling him to sit his ass down. And he's exactly right. JBL shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm sure someone in the headset's probably telling him to, but...
Right.
And then of course, they're going to do it for Jerry. Then they're going to do it for Cole. And it's like, where does it end, and who's responsible for getting it to end? If, you know, you invest a little bit more into the product, into your characters... Maybe this sort of thing doesn't happen. Or at least tell your announcers to sit their ass down and don't acknowledge it. Just like they did with... just how they did with the CM Punk stuff last night.
Yeah, no, things could always... The ship could always be run a little bit tighter.
Yeah. But you can rein in an audience. They did it last night. They totally defused the Punk stuff.
Right.
But again... Maybe it's just that one crowd. Maybe it'll be just absolutely insane next week. And I don't think the Chicago crowd's going to listen.
Yeah.
But every time they start chanting, even during... who Curtis Axel take on?
Was he taking a Big E?
No, that was the main event. I'm sorry. That was one of the first events. First matches. That was a show with Big E and somebody's. I don't remember.
Sheamus.
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. And during that match, they were starting to chant, and Ryback would start doing stuff. You could see him outside. Whenever a chant would start up, he'd start yelling at people in the front row. Like sheep, it carries, and everything's done. Diffused again. So, people can bitch about crowds going into business for themselves, but why don't you give them a reason not to go into business for themselves? And then if they keep doing it, then, well, there you go. And really, isn't this all Steve Austin's fault anyways? I mean, if you remember the what chant?
Yeah, no, I guess that was always part of my evidence of Daniel Bryan's greatness. He is the first person to get rid of the what chance.
When was that? What do you mean? I don't think I'm following you.
Oh, well, everyone loved... People were still chanting what? Even though Steve Austin's been gone for Lord knows how long.
Yeah.
But no one could get anybody to chant anything else. But now Daniel Bryan, I think, has finally dislodged whatism with yes and no.
Okay. I'm following you now. I thought there was a specific instance where the crowd was doing that to him and he totally shot him down. So... But no, it's... The WWE has ample opportunity to fix all of this. And until they are able to figure out the problems, we can sit here, anybody can sit there and say, well, they need to do this, they need to do this. But once the power brokers are the ones that have to figure out, oh, that's why this sort of shit is happening. Okay, we need to change it. Crowds are still going to do whatever they want. They pay the money as long as they're not... Hell, even if they were, chanting awful stuff, you can't stop them. Those security guards are like $7 an hour people. They don't give a shit. They're not going to get involved with a group of people. Which is why it was hilarious, all these people tweeting that they got kicked out, or people were getting kicked out of the arena last night.
Yeah.
I have no doubt some people got kicked out last night, probably because they were drunken messes. We've all seen it. But then...
Yeah, no, I in no way, I believe that story for about no seconds ever.
Yeah. Well, I believe people got kicked out. Maybe, you know what? Maybe they did get kicked out for chanting CM Punk. But then also, maybe this guy was an asshole about it. Started swearing. The guy's like, out. Yeah, out. Bye. That's how the rules work. So, but no. But the other funny thing is, I think it was Wrestling Inc. And I even commented on it on the message boards that, people are saying, well, I didn't see anybody getting thrown out. If there was, there would have been a riot if people were getting kicked out for chanting CM Punk. One, you're one in 18,000 people. So you're not going to see everything that goes on. Two, you're expecting that people getting kicked out are being kicked out in mass. Like they're kicking 20 people out of one row or something. And then thirdly, I lost my third one, but you get the point. It's just all over the place. It's just stupid. And I just love how people take the Twitter and someone goes, "Did you see that?" And everyone starts reporting on it like it's true. It's Twitter. How that became a legitimate news source is beyond me. So. But yeah, it's WWE, and WrestleMania could be a disaster for them if they don't get stuff in line. That could be a lot of fun. I mean, if, shows of regular, families, whatever else, are getting hijacked, I can't imagine what a show full of smart marks and everything else is going to be like. So,
that they're going to do that on the network?
Huh? No, I'm talking about WrestleMania.
Oh. No. Hold on, why the fuck did I get confused on that one?
Is that lady with the pig still on?
No.
I've got the...
No, somewhere in that explanation, you threw me off from WrestleMania, and I thought you were talking about a separate show for whatever fucking reason.
Well, no... no, basically the point was, if they can't control a Raw crowd full of families, how the hell are they going to be able to deal with 70,000 people or 70,000, potentially smart marks, because that's the crowd that's there,
Okay, I gotcha. You know,
that main event, if the main event continues and it's Batista and Randy Orton, ooh, that may not be pretty. I mean, audio-wise, that's not going to be pretty.
That would be awesome. I mean, I'll enjoy the hell out of it. Like, if it's that kind of raucous, you know,
oh, yeah,
even in a negative way, that will be a sight to behold.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I think we'll be there at one of the more interesting moments in the WWE time frame.
Yeah, that'd be... I'm telling you, man, I'm looking forward to going to WrestleMania now, just, you know, without the card it being anywhere near intact. The potential matches are going to be fun, and I think Batista and Randy Orton can pull off a good match, too. I don't know if I exactly agree with Batista getting the main event slot, but then who else? Like, I'm sorry, like, what else were they going to do with him?
Well, I mean, Punk and Daniel Bryan are really your only other options.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of working around Cena, too. You got three options.
Cena, this is, you know, he wasn't in the Royal Rumble. He lost at the Royal Rumble. And he was barely on, he wasn't on TV this week. He was on TV last week for a coffee break. This is the most insignificant right now that Cena's been in a while. And it's kind of weird because there's no solid place. You know, whatever backstage shenanigans, you know, whatever they've written behind the scenes is fine. But like currently, he doesn't fit on the WrestleMania card anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't take your number one draw or whatever, you know, your number one guy, and just hotshot him into an angle with, I don't know, I don't even know who. It looked like it was going to be Bray Wyatt. And that seems to be on the back burner.
And I don't know if you mentioned it to me on IM or where it was, but them, oh, probably on the audio that we lost, them jumping the gun with the Wyatts and the Shield is, I mean, I think that screws things up even more. Like, because like you said, they take Wyatt away from Daniel Bryan. Which they could, again, if they had let Bryan, like, eliminate him in the Rumble itself, you could have easily stretched that feud until WrestleMania. And everyone's happy when Bray Wyatt gets his comeuppance after, you know, many a beatdown in the meantime. But, yeah, I don't... I don't know who he can take on. Like, there's no one on the heel side of the card that I can think of. You know, Del Rio? I mean...
Oh, God, gotta be, no. Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of who would be next on the heel totem pole.
You're not going to hear a more honest reaction from me than that, by the way. That I was looking at something real quick to try and find anybody, and you said that. I was like, what? No. No. But he's a guy that has no place, because it seems like they built him and Batista up, and that's going to be a blow-off match at Elimination Chamber.
Yes, it is.
No, I know there's the rumored Hulk Hogan, John Cena, not match, but like interaction, like whatever.
No, okay.
But, I mean, I guess Bray Wyatt's is the best choice. But then what does Shield do? I don't know. It's another one of those. It's going to be another one of those years. I hope they're not just throwing the undercard together. It seemed to make more sense when it looked like Daniel Bryan was going to be in some sort of main event. CM Punk was getting Triple H, which I don't know how CM Punk thought he was going to get anybody but Triple H. You know,
yeah.
And then it looked like CM Punk was going to get Kane, and I thought that was a weird one.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I mean, I'm just mowing through this roster, and there is just no one in the heel department that can... Like, you brought up Kane, and he's the only guy that I can think of taking on Daniel Bryan that, you know, there's a history there. His name is big enough.
Well, but is it big enough for WrestleMania, though? I mean, when's the last time Kane wrestled a match? You know?
I don't know. They don't do the Money in the Bank match to just throw in the random people that they don't really have stories for anymore.
Yeah, that is one downfall of this, is they need a match like that. Because you automatically had people involved, and it sort of made sense. Because you always had, like, the established guys and then the up-and-comer.
Yep. Yeah, no, brutal. I looked through the whole roster, and there isn't anyone that I would say is on that level. Like, if they wanted to get, because I just flipped past them, Titus O'Neil to that level,
they needed to start
this transformation way earlier than right now.
And also, could he have looked any more disinterested on Monday night? He didn't. He just walked to the ring, did his thing, walked out, and like just kind of stood around, like, "Well, what am I supposed to do now?" It wasn't menacing. It wasn't anything but just kind of like, "All right, I'm just gonna go back now."
Wait for the I guess I didn't think on it that hard. I'm not sure if Ken was still here or not, though. Well, yeah, it does not help. Oh, You had that random shit going on. This was another thing that another guy that in some ways, like, well, why did you put The Miz in the main event of WrestleMania a couple of years ago if he's really this terrible? That is just an epic fall. And I mean, that happened during the match because, I'm reading the little snippet that I wrote about it. That doesn't help when you have another wrestler coming down to air his grievance during it. It's okay if it applies to one of the wrestlers in the ring, really. But the Miz's complaint didn't really apply to them, even though it was directly about them, like that they were getting the ring time and he wasn't.
Yeah.
But it also didn't really have anything to do with him. It was all about the Miz, really.
Yeah, see, I took that more as a slam on CM Punk than anything else.
Oh, well, you know? Yeah, there is that, too.
Because there was a snide comment after, like, how are you going to get anything done if you're just going to come down, complain, and leave? Or something like that. Or take a headset, throw it down, and I'm like, that's what that was.
But yeah.
That's all Miz is good for.
But yeah, I mean, that is all the Miz is good for. And it kind of takes away from what should be some type of defining or, you know, beginning for Titus O'Neil as a singles wrestler after this SmackDown beatdown of Darren Young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I just don't think it's appropriate to have The Miz come down at that match if you feel like taking a small shot at CM Punk.
Yeah.
Actually, and how can we say that they didn't address it at all when they did that, and we just both said that we thought about the CM Punk situation immediately?
No. they didn't come right. I mean, that could have been anything. That could have been Miz's thing. And now the rumor now is him and Dolph are going to team up as the two disgruntled guys, because that always works. But they didn't, like, whenever there's a CM Punk chant or whatever, they gave it no play. That's what I was getting at. So,
oh, right.
But sorry, I was distracted because Elise was trying to tell me all about the wedding dress she was looking at. So I don't know if you saw my face. I just went, like, what are you doing? So I told her to stop telling me about it. She's like, oh, okay. Now, maybe her next one she'll get it right. Yeah, so...
It's going to be, I guess, in some general way, this is why we ended up rambling, is that it's going to be a really crazy WrestleMania. Like, it's kind of, like, CM Punk has really kind of opened up even more flaws in the plan, I guess.
Right. Well,
like, he is really fucking with all of WrestleMania. And, like, and I guess, and you know, we haven't addressed the WWE side of that. Like, if you get him in place, I think a lot of things get straightened out. So, like, I would have a hard time, like, on their behalf just saying fuck him and just being done with it. Like, I think it's to their benefit also to have him there.
You're talking about having CM Punk there.
Right.
Where does he fit now, though?
You know? You can still go with the Triple H thing.
But didn't they start... They already started down that road with Daniel Bryan.
Only had the one interaction, though. I don't think that's starting down that road with just one interaction. And they didn't really address it this week at all. Like... Bryan didn't have a confrontation with him. They didn't fuck him over in his match. Oh, yeah, actually, he won the match. Like, they gave him the match that he wanted, and he won it, so he got to prove that he was as good as he was. So, I don't know. You're kind of diffusing the situation. I would think diffusing the situation with them.
You know that by winning that match on Raw, there's no chance in hell he's winning at Elimination Chamber now. That's all this is.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's all
it is. That is true.
But no, but even Stephanie came out and said, you know, you know, and God forbid, I can't believe I'm going to say this about supporting Daniel Bryan as the face, or reconsider Daniel Bryan as the face of WWE. So they're still planting those seeds. I mean, unless they've got some sort of magic trick up their sleeve, it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Triple H. I would expect, and then I guess the Brock Undertaker match that they, you know, we keep hearing about, and then you've got Batista, Randy Orton. I don't see where Punk fits in and has, like, a match of, you know, caliber he wants. Or a match of a caliber he deserves in his eyes.
Well, I'd tell you one match that I wouldn't argue with if it happened is... Because Roman Reigns was the only one that got the pin over him when he fought all of the Shield.
Yeah, true.
I would be unargumentative if it was a CM Punk Roman Reigns match.
Yeah.
And I think that it fits storyline wise that you know, maybe Punk wants one back after after Reigns got him.
See, and everyone keeps talking about Roman Reigns, and I understand the guy's got a future. But that's still a step down for Punk, though. Roman Reigns is on a hot streak of... He's getting the big moves in a match. He looks cool doing it. But that's it.
Yeah. I mean, he still definitely has not proven himself in a longer style match. Is a singles wrestler. I don't care how much time he spent in the Elimination Chamber. It's just a different animal.
I mean, the Royal Rumble.
What did I just say?
Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I forgot that they also... Well, they really went back to Survivor Series, building him up with the four eliminations.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's nothing there with him, because I think there is. But I think just right now, everyone's talking about he should be, like, you read, it should be Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. Roman Reigns should be hot-shotted to the title picture. I'm like, no. This isn't, this
those,
isn't the
title. Those are real thoughts.
Yes. There's no basis, and there's no, I mean, there's no backbone to any of that stuff. It doesn't make any sense. They didn't do it with Edge when he was on fire as a heel years ago. They didn't even give it to Jeff Hardy when, you know, Randy Orton beat him for the title, or did he beat him for the title, or did he just beat Jeff Hardy at the Royal Rumble years ago? When it was clear Hardy should have just been given the ball and let run, you know, outside of whatever was going on behind the scenes. You know, that sort of thing. So who in the blue hell thinks that Roman Reigns right now is in any position to do something? And again, it's not an indictment of his
potential.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Absolutely not. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what my first thought before I kind of went off on supporting him was, he hasn't proven himself in a singles match. And most of the matches at WrestleMania are long matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know there's the 18-second Daniel Bryan match and all that good stuff, but most of them, what, minimum 5, usually closer to 8?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, even the short matches are a pretty decent length. So Reigns has got to go from, you know, not ever doing that to having a pretty lengthy match. And if CM Punk's involved, as I've proposed, I would imagine that they get far more than just 8 minutes.
Right. And it's also...
Which would be concerning, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess putting, you know, the old Ring General thing, you put him in there and see what happens, but...
Right.
No, WrestleMania is not the time for experiments. I'm going to blow my own spot up, but you had The Miz. That's it. That's literally the only experiment. And he was an afterthought. You could have had a chimpanzee in a tuxedo as your WWE champion, and it wouldn't. Maybe that would have stuck out a little bit more, actually. But it wouldn't have mattered. You could have had Zack Ryder as your champion. The talking point was Rock Cena. You know, that's all they were building it up for.
Right.
But WrestleMania, you don't do experiments going into WrestleMania. It's never been that way. So the fact people keep bringing up Roman Reigns and pushing him, I was like, no. He's been on the roster a year, and they won't give people who have been on the roster much longer time. Been on the roster a much longer time, as if I'm going to edit that last line out. they don't give him squat.
Right.
We've had these discussions before. It's everyone wants an instant gratification on stuff. No one wants to wait. You know.
Yeah, well, if that's what people are calling for, I do think they need to cool their jets. Yeah. In that department, I think that that's just a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of new talent that you can't push to the top right now. And, you know, sometimes you get in that stale period. And that's kind of what we're at. I mean, bringing back a guy who's been gone 4 years, eh. But nothing you can do about it now. And, boy, they've mishandled that, too. Having him come out and hug Triple H and Stephanie, and then they keep calling him his personal friend. It's like, what do you expect? The heels are saying hi to somebody, and you're supposed to cheer for him? It's like, he left as a bad guy. It was great.
Well, everyone seems to return as the conquering hero, no matter what their status was previously. I mean, when Edge went out with his first injury, he came back as a hero, even though he was healing it up quite well before his exit.
Yeah.
But, well, that's just been another part of their bizarre booking of themselves, really, the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still just weird to me that they haven't settled on something. Like, they're good guys for a couple of weeks, and then bad guys for a couple of weeks. Good guys for a couple of weeks, bad guys for a couple of weeks. Just like, okay, like, I'm confused. What am I supposed to think here now? They zig when you think they're going to zag, and I don't think it's beneficial to anybody on the roster, including Batista.
I think Batista should have just come back as a Rock sort of Hollywood heel guy. And I know he's in a Marvel movie coming up. I don't care. It would have been great. And just have him pick up right where he left off. Just could have been bashing everybody. Yeah, all sorts of stuff like that would have been really fun. But maybe we'll get that after WrestleMania. So, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, a heel Batista would actually help out far more than anything else. If you're talking about things for CM Punk to do, and he's pissed at Batista for coming back and hogging the spotlight, it'd be kind of funny to see those two in a match, actually, with CM Punk playing the good guy there.
Yeah, I think some promos with Dave and Batista would have been kind of fun, too. But and then there's the obvious joke of, can you imagine the ass they're tearing through backstage? So, I don't know. I think this show turned out to be kind of negative, actually. I don't think that was the intent, but...
Well, it goes where it goes.
Yeah. But, yeah, so let's wrap this up. We'll get a... It was supposed to be a CM Punk-centric show, but we kind of got off that, which is fine, too. So...
Yeah, no, I mean, there's only so much you can really say.
Yeah. Well, maybe later this week we can talk about TNA. Or better yet, you can, and I'll just go, I don't watch it anymore. So... I found MVP coming back to be kind of strange. I guess we can get into that later. If we can get into that later in the week. So,
Yeah. No need to get into that right now.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Hopefully this recorded. We're using a new system that doesn't allow me to see what the hell's going on. So it didn't say it's not recording, so we'll see. if you're listening to this, it did. If not, then I don't know what we're going to do, because we don't like doing the phone ones because they don't sound good. So, you can check us out on all the social media. Look for Stunt Granny. Instagram.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us right now,
you found us.
So good. Eric is live tweeting SmackDown.
Oh, yes. you can find all the social media. I'm Granny Maze. Kevin's DeFrango11. Dusty on Twitter is StuntDusty. Eric does the Stunt Granny account, as he's doing today, as we record this. Instagram's the same thing. That's social media as well. You can email stuntgranny@gmail.com if you feel like it. Leave a comment on the post. Comment on Facebook. I'm done. We'll talk to you later this week.
I am enjoying a sippy time beverage from my good buddy Steve in Altoona. It's his red ale, and it is quite fantastic. So I know why he almost completely hoarded it for himself and didn't give me any when I went back for Thankmas. So grandkids, remember, # sippy time beer. I'm out. Yeah.